here and lead us in prayer?
Sure. Father, I just thank you for this day and the opportunity to learn your word and to learn your will for our lives. Lord, lead us to your perfect will. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Exodus 19 and verse 13.
Got the wrong thing up there.
19 and verse 13.
And that one does it right.
19 and verse 13.
Now, did you have a question? Did you have a question?
No, it was just about the
angels, Malak. Yeah. All right. 19 and verse 13, Lo. Tegah. Bo. Yad. Ki. Sakol. Yisakel. Y-A-R-O. Well, I'll get it right in a minute. Y-A-O. Okay. Oh. I'm trying to read from right to left. O-Y-A-R-O.
Okay.
Boy.
Yeah, I was...
Y-Y-A-R-E.
Y-Y-A-R-E.
M.
Behemah.
M-Ish-Lo. Yeah. Bimshok. Hayovel. Himma. Ya'alu. Bahar. Right here, the first word, lo, is what? What is that little thing? That's an adverb of negation. Yeah. An adverb of negation, and an adverb usually ends with a Y, L-Y, doesn't it? So what we have here is notly, in all reality, is an active not, or an active negative. And not, you shall keep on touching him. All right, the hand. Because to stone, he shall keep on being stoned. Or to be pierced, he shall keep on being pierced. Whether animal or man, not, another adverb of negation, he shall keep on living. To draw or pull or blowing the ram's horn. Them, they shall go up in the mountain. All right? Now, what it's saying here is, we didn't have you read to begin with here tonight, but they say the mountain is off limits. The mountain is holy, and you cannot, you have to put a fence or a boundary there, and any animal that goes beyond that boundary or any human is going to be killed. He's going to be stoned to death. Or he's going to be pierced, shot with an arrow, or pierced with a sword, or with a spear. He's going to be killed, in other words. He shall keep on being pierced until he's dead. Because this is holy ground. And God wants us to know that there are some things that are holy to him. They are holy. That tabernacle was holy. You didn't just walk into that tabernacle. You had to have a legitimate reason to go in there as a priest only. And only the priest that ministered in a certain section in that tabernacle could do it at all. Anyone else was stoned because you were coming into the holy presence of God. And I don't care how much we think that we are good. We are not good enough to walk into the presence of a holy God. Only by the blood of Jesus Christ on us can we do that. That's the only way. Only by Jesus Christ's blood can we walk into His presence. 19 and verse 14. Wayared. Moshe. Men. Hahar. El Ha'am. Why? Gadesh. Et Ha'am Y Kaberu Besu Sim Latav.
See if that'll calm that down.
Why you read? And he came down Moshe, Moses, from men, Hahar, from the mountain, El unto Ha'am, the people. And this word Ha'am there means what?
The family clan.
The family clan, the tribe. Okay?
Related people.
Yes, those that were related as a family. And he sanctified or consecrated. Look at this word. Kadesh is in that word. Kadesh, that means to make holy or to make sacred. Page 872. And look at that word. Third person, master, singular, PL, while consecutive, imperfect. And he intensely sanctified and consecrated. And then we have the sign of the direct object, et. What is the corresponding sign of the direct object in Greek? Ace. Well, you're doing all right. Ha'am, the people. And they washed. Look at this word here. Y-kab-bisu. Y-kab-bisu. And they washed. Now, Sharon, can you conjugate that verb for me there? Y kabeshu.
Okay, well, the Y is an and.
That's an and.
It's and.
Yeah.
And the other is third person masculine plural. PL.
Wow, consecutive and perfect.
Well, consecutive.
Very, very good. You're getting it. Now, this means to wash with soap and water. Now, people. American Indians used plants for soap. And they also used ashes. Ashes have lye in them. The ashes of the red heifer, the ashes of the red heifer in Israel, they were supposed to completely burn that heifer with fire, and they would take the ashes and keep them in a pot, and they would take some of those ashes out and put them in water, and that's lye water. My grandmother used to have a wood stove. And she heated with her wood stove, and she'd take real hard wood in it. She'd get some oak or hickory or something, and she'd burn in there, and she would burn this separately because she was going to use this wood ashes for lye water. And she had a long trough that she put together with wood like this, and she would put those ashes in there, and she would pour a little bit of water at a time, and it'd run down there, and she'd catch this water, and then she'd take lard from bacon and any kind of fat, especially when we'd render the log on a hog without any salt in it or anything. Mm-hmm. And she would take this lye water, which was literally ash water, and mix it with a soap, and she'd mix it up real good in a hot pot, and then she'd take it out and she'd pour it in old pasteboard boxes about this thick, about that deep, with the lard and the ashes together, and then she'd cut it after it dried. She'd cut it like this, and she'd take out these bars of soap. And the better the lard, pure rendered lard without it being fried or anything like that, it made the whitest soap, the lightest soap. The soap. Now, it was a little rough on your skin because lye is lye, whichever way you look at it. And I'll tell you this also about lye. Do you like olives?
Yeah.
Olives are cured with lye.
I didn't know.
You take olives and you pour them, you put lye and you mix lye in with the olives in a vat, and you let it set there until the lye has gone all the way out and leached all that bitterness out of them. And then you begin to wash them with clear water until you reverse the lye, until the lye is washed back out and leached back out of the olives. And then you cure them, and that's what your olives is. But the olives are cured with lye. Well, lye is real good penetrating soap. And what they did, I am sure, is they took soap made with ashes and probably some type of lard, and or maybe just ashes, and they would wash their clothes with it. And then they would rinse them, wash them and rinse them until they got the lye back out of the clothes, and their clothes were washed. They wanted to be washed. All right? And they washed. Third person masculine plural PL. Washed intensely their wrappers. And that is sim latam. That's their wrappers. And of course, they didn't have fitted clothes back in those times. They would literally have looms where they would make their cloth. and they would wear their, just make a long piece of cloth, and you just wrap that piece of cloth around you. And you made a robe or whatever out of it. You just wrapped it around you. So that's their wrappers. They washed their wrappers. They made them clean because they were coming into the presence of a holy God. Even though he was up there in the most holy Kadesh place, they were down below. But they wanted to wash their clothes to come into his presence. People, when they went to church many, many years ago, they may be out working in the fields and everything else. My grandmother and my grandmother had one clean dress that was very clean. And my grandfather had a white shirt and a newer pair of overalls. And that's what they'd go to church in or whatever. They would wear these cleaner clothes. They would wear their best clothes to church. 19 and verse 15. Wyomer. El Ha'am. Hiyu. Nekanim. Lish Loshet. Yamim. All Tigishu. El Isha. Isha. All right. It's a double sh. Isha. And he said, now conjugate that one for me. Wyomer.
Third person masculine singular, cow.
Well, consecutive and perfect. All right. And what does this tense mean? What does it mean? He said and had kept on saying. It's historical. It happened. It's completed action, but we have a durative linear idea in this. He said and kept on saying unto the people. El, unto, that's a preposition. Page 39, see that? Mm-hmm. Unto ha, definite article, people. Unto the family. And then we have the word hiyu. This is the word that the word Jehovah comes from. This is the root, okay? The root of this one, hayah, is the root of yiyu. Masculine plural, cal imperative. Ye become, being established. Masculine plural, nephel, participle. Look at that word, kain. Kain, see, that's the root of that. Nikonim.
isn't it like Cohen and the priest?
Yes. That's kind of like that, yeah. Oh, yeah. All right. For the third, Lish Loshet. For the third days, for 3 days, not ye shall draw near for yourselves. Look at this now. In other words, you're going to have personal, volitative fear and respect of God. All right? Ye shall not draw near for yourselves. Second person, masculine, plural, cal, juicy in meaning. Juicy means what?
Volitative
quality of this affirmation of this verb. Okay? Cal stem, but juicy in meaning. Unto a woman. Woman. Now, women in history have been the downfall of many men. And they also can be the uplifting of the men, too. But what happened with Eve? Yeah, she led her man astray. What happened with Jezebel? What happened with Rahab? There we have a good ending to that story, don't we? We have a courtesan, a professional prostitute, very high dignitary prostitute, and she gets saved, and she marries and becomes the mother of the Messiah, the grandmother of the Messiah, long, far back, all right? But the women in the Bible, when it talks about women, they pollute a man sometimes. They pollute a man. And so stay away from a woman. Control your desires and control what you're doing with your life for this period of time for me. And I want you to do it for yourself. I want you to do it for respect. For respect.
Well, isn't it like the idea to, like even like football teams, they abstain, you know, before a game, they don't want to be distracted.
Yes. The same thing with boxers and stuff like that. Yeah. That for years they would stay away from a woman. They would say it would drain their energy. All right.
Yeah.
Drain their energies and their distract their thoughts. Why he? 1916. Why he? Bayom. Ha Shiloshi. Biyat. Ha Boker. Why he? Kalot. Yuvara Kim. Wianan. Kavad. Kaved, that is. El. Hahar. We go. Sofer. Hazak. Miod. Now here's a real tongue twister. Why ye cha rot. And the second half of it is call. Ha'am. Asher. Ba ma cha ne. Here we have the word Yah. Haya again, the root of it. And he became in day the third. And it became, look at all of the roots for the word Jehovah right there. We know that Jehovah means he who shall become. Is there any doubt about that in your mind after knowing this? The word Jehovah means he who shall become. And John 1:14 is a fulfillment of that. Kai Halogo Starks again until, and the word, the Jehovah flesh, he became. Third person, masculine, singular, second heirs, indicative, middle voice for himself. God brought himself into the world. The daybreak. Look at that. Ha Boker. Boker means what? To break. A large animal that's strong enough and big enough to pull a plow to break ground is a Boker. All right? That's an ox. Why he? And he became. The voice became, all right, and the voice. Thunder always, when Israel heard thunder, they believed that God was speaking because he did this from the mountain. And they heard his voice. You know, a lot of Bible movies are hogwash and baloney. You know, we know that. But when the Ten Commandments, when Moses was up on the mountain, and they're saying, and they're using the voice of God, and it sounded like it was echo and everything else, that sound may be something like what really happened. Can you imagine being down at the foot of Mount Sinai, and they hear the voice of God that sounds like thunder shaking the ground? Have you been around thunder that shook the ground?
I've been around thunder, yeah.
Yeah. It shakes powerful. The ground. All right.
Powerful stuff.
Thunder is powerful. Well, every time they heard it thunder, they believed that God was speaking because of what happened here. Now, you have to remember here, there's not a lot of thunder around in this country, okay? And became a voice, or thunder. Roud cracking, this koloth. Look at that word, koloth. Yuvarakim. And lightnings. Thunder, voices in the sky, and lightnings, flashes of light. And a cloud, heavy. A wianan kaved, heavy. That kaved means heavy. Exceedingly heavy. Upon the mountain, there was a cloud up there. Now, what had happened out here in the wilderness, where the Shekinah glory of God, in the daytime it looked like a cloud. At nighttime, they saw a pillar of fire. So here we have God manifesting himself. The lightnings was the Shekinah glory of God. And the Shekinah glory of God, this lit up the top of that mountain. And Moses was up there for 40 days, the first hitch, and then 40 days again. We have him up there over 80 days in the presence of the Shekinah glory of God. And when he came down off of that mountain, his face and his presence shone with the glory of God, and they were afraid of him. They thought he was some kind of ghost or something because they were seeing the glory of God, him reflecting the glory of the God, like the moon reflects the light of the sun at nighttime. And a cloud heavy, kavod, upon El Hahar, upon the mountain. And we call the voice, as a ram's horn strong. It was echoing like a ram's horn. I used to go coon hunting and lion and bear hunting all the time. And one of my favorite places to go, it was really rough ground. But I go up Rattlesnake Grade, Rancheria Road, whatever you want to call it. I go up there to Oak Flat Lookout Tower. And if you look down the mountain, you get up there and you look down toward the canyon, the Kern Canyon, the Kern River's down there, and Breckenridge Mountain was on the other side. I used to let out a war whoop, and you could hear that echo from all over. A person down at the in the base of that road on Highway 178 could hear you holler. That's a long way. That's about 12 miles. They could hear you holler. They could hear you all the way from Breckenridge Mountain. You could hear your dog squealing and squalling and bawling all down through there. And you could just hear that. And you could blow I had horns that I could blow for the dogs. And you could blow that and it just echo and echo and echo and echo. It's just, that's all rock ground. You know, the ground is very rock. It reflects sound. Hard walls reflect sound. Soft walls, like carpet on the walls. They put carpet on the walls to absorb sound sometimes. And so upon this rocky mountain, they heard the voice of God. And it was strong like a ram's horn, very, very exceedingly strong. Meod, Hazek, strong Meod. Hazek Meod, Wayah Cherod. And he trembled. Third person, master, senior, cow, wow, consecutive, and perfect. Harad. He trembled and yes. Kept on trembling.
Is it the voice that trembled or the...
No, the people.
Oh, the people.
Each person.
Okay.
Yes, third person, masculine, and singular. It's not they, but each person in the crowd. Each one. Hebrew is very definitive. Each person trembled. All ha'am, the people. Which, in the encampment, Bob Ma Chene, in the encampment, everybody that had their tents pitched around there. 19 and verse 17 now. Wayotze, Moshe, et Ha'am, Likroth, Ha, Elohim, Min, Ha Ma Chene, Wayitz Yat Siva, Sivu, that is. Sivu. Bitachtit. Okay, that on the end is a TH sound. TH sound, because it is a tau, but it does not have a dogish in the middle of it. Bitachtit. All right. See the first. Tau there, it's a TH sound too. B-ta-che-tith. Ha-har. That's a tongue twister too. That one will exercise your teeth and your tongue. All right. And he brought and kept on bringing out Moses, the people, to meet, to encounter, to come into the presence of. Look at the word, cal infinitive construct. Coming in the presence of Elohim, the Creator. Elohim is the Creator God. From the encampment. And they stood themselves. They stood themselves. Third person, masculine, plural, as a group now. Now we're talking about the group. And they stood themselves. Hithael, wow, consecutive and perfect. In the lower part of the mountain. In the Bitachtit. In the lower part of the mountain. Ha-har. Go on a little bit further. How many pages do you have left? A few?
No, I have enough.
All right. Wehar.
Sinai.
Ashan. Kulo. Mithpene. Asher. Yerod. Alo. Hadavar. Be'esh. Wayal. Ashano. Ki-shen. Look at that. Ki-shen. Ha-ke-ve-shan. Wa-ya-cha-rod. Call. Ha-har-mi-od. And the mountain, literally, not the mountain. And mountain Sinai, or Mount Sinai. Sinai means what? Sinai.
Yeah, not brambles, but
yeah.
Briar patch.
Yeah, briar patch, brambles, thorny area. All right. Had a lot of thorn bushes up on that mountain. And now we know what kind of thorn bushes they were from the Hebrew. They were raspberries and blackberry bushes. Okay. And he had smoked. He had smoked. Look at that. Third person masculine singular, cow perfect. He had smoked of all from the face of which all it was smoked up. And he had come down upon the mountain, basically Jehovah, in fire, in his Shekinah glory, in his glowing presence. Okay? In the fire, the presence of God. My teacher, Dr. Carl E. Farah, used to tell me, he put down E equals mass times the speed of light squared. That's Einstein's theory of relativity and energy. Energy equals mass times the speed of light squared. Everything has energy in it, and everything retains that energy which God put in it, because God is pure energy. Okay. He said everything that is alive moves with energy. Everything that is dead has energy in it. Everything has energy in it. All things. Energy equals mass times the speed of light squared. God created all things. And all things have a little piece of the energy of God in them. All the way from the oak trees to the bramble bush has energy in it. You never can use up energy. Energy is there. Always there's some other way to get more energy out of it. You burn a bush and it puts out a lot of heat, and once you got in, when the bush is burned, is another form of energy, which is that soap we talked about, that lye, that those ashes are a cleansing element, which again is energy. Saves a lot of elbow grease. And the mountain Sinai, he had smoked all of Kalo, all of from the face of which he had come down upon Jehovah in fire, and he went up its smoke like smoke of a kiln, of a furnace. This is a kiln. Back then, they used to have kilns. What did they do with a kiln?
Pottery.
They used the kilns to cure pottery. All right, this goes way back in time. All right. And he trembled, all the mountain exceeding. The mountain was shaking like a volcanic eruption. I've never been around a volcanic eruption, but they say the ground has trembled because it's pushing molten lava out of the earth, and it's like seismic activity all over the place. I've been around earthquakes a lot. Have you been around earthquakes? Yeah. Well, earthquakes can move the ground. Earthquakes produce a lot of energy. All right. Now, Deuteronomy 4:11, Psalm 104:32, Psalm 144 and verse 5, Exodus 32 and verse 2, Exodus 24:17, Deuteronomy 5 and 4, Hebrews 12:18, Genesis 15:17, Genesis 19:28, and Judges 5 and verse 5 all cross-reference to this verse right here. That's a very important verse in the Bible. Very important verse in the Bible. Hebrews 12:18. Let's go and look just one place. Hebrews 12:18. Hebrews 12:18. As we're going there. For you have not come to a mountain that may be touched, to a blazing fire and a darkness of gloom and a whirlwind upon it. See, that's describing what was going on here. And it's talking about contrast to Mount Zion and Sinai. And to the blast of the trumpet, the sound of words, which sound which was such that those who heard begged that no further word should be spoken directly to them. They were scared to death of this terrible, terrible thing that they had seen. For they could not bear the command, if even a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned. A wild animal. A therion, a beast, a wild animal. Even if a wild animal touches that mountain, you have to stone it. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I am full of fear and trembling. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God. That's where Jesus was. The living God walked among them. The heavenly Jerusalem, and to myriads of angels. And to the, basically, the general assembly, the family of God, and the church, the family of God, and the church, and the firstborn of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of the righteous men made perfect. You only become righteous because you've touched Jesus. Jesus has touched you. And to Jesus, the mediator of a hekinei diatheke, a new covenant, a new barith, and to the sprinkled blood which speaks better than the blood of Abel. All right, that goes back. And if you go to all these places, you have that repeated. This is a very important verse. Put an asterisk around it or something, because this is an extremely important verse in the Bible. Exodus 19 and verse 19. Exodus 19 and verse 19. I had to go see how many minutes we had recorded. Why he? Kol ha-shofar.
Kol ha-shofar.
Holek.
Wichazek.
Miad.
Moshe.
Yadavar. We ha-elohim.
We
are Ninu, Vigo. All right. Let's go back a little more now. And he became the sound became, of the ram's horn, of the shofar. See that word shofar? Ha, sha, shofar. Going. Masculine and senior cow participle, just the sound kept on going.
So the
echoing. Echoing, echoing, echoing. These people were scared to death. And becoming strong. And becoming strong. And being strong. Masculine singular cal participle. Hazek. Exceedingly. And Moses, he kept on speaking. And the God, he kept on speaking. And Moses, exceedingly. Moses kept on. Moses, and he kept on speaking forcefully. And the God, and he kept on answering in thunder. Moses was hollering real loud, and God was speaking back in thunder. This is quite a sight. Let's go to Psalm 104 and look at it again. This is quite a spectacle. Psalm 104.
I don't know if I have Psalms.
Oh, well, you might not have that.
Yeah,
and that one. Psalm 104. Psalm 104 and 32. Go back to verse number 30. It says, Thou dost send forth thy spirit, and they are created. And thou dost renew the face of the earth, the ground. And let the glory of the Lord endure forever. Let the Lord be glad in his works. And he looks at the earth and it trembles. He looks at the earth and it continues to tremble. He touches the mountains and they smoke. He touches the mountains and they smoke. And 144 and verse 5. Psalm 144 and verse 5. I'll read that one. If I can find it. There are 150 psalms, you know. The Baptist preachers of old, they did not have Bibles. But the Baptist preachers, the pastors, were expected to memorize all four Gospels and all of the 150, all four Gospels in Greek and all 150 psalms in Hebrew. All right, 144 and verse 5. I'll get there sooner or later. Bow thy heavens, O Lord, and come down. Touch the mountains, and they will smoke. Flash forth lightnings and scatter them. Send out thine arrows and confuse them. See, we've got a Psalm of David here. And David is saying, Lord, do what you did upon Mount Sinai. They all remembered this. They all remembered this writing, what had happened here in the book of Exodus. Nehemiah 9 and 3 is a cross-reference to this next verse. And Psalm 81 and verse 7 was a cross-reference to that one. And I will go back to that also. Psalm 81 and verse 7. Verse number 5, and he established it for testimony in Joseph when he went throughout the land of Egypt and heard the language that he did not know. I relieved his shoulder of the burden. I relieved his shoulder of the burden, that is. His hands were freed from the basket. You called in trouble, and I rescued you. I answered you in the hiding place of thunder. I proved you in the waters of Meribah. See, it's going back to what happened. All of Israel's history is in the book of Exodus. That's what they remember constantly. Everything they live, they relive the book of Exodus. And here we are studying, we Elei Shemot, the book of Exodus. That all of their lives have been surrounded with. Why you read? Hathavar, Al-Har, Sinai, El-Rosh, Hahar, Wayikra, Hadavar, Li Moshe, El Rosh, Hahar, Wayaal, Moshe. And he came down, Jehovah, upon the mountain. Look at that word, he came down. Wayered. That word comes from Wired, Yared. Third person, master, senior, cal, wow, consecutive, and perfect. He came down upon the mountain and he kept on coming. Jehovah. That's Hathavar there. That's the word of John's writings. The Hologos. This is who it is. Hologos, Hathavar, or Hashem, the name. Using the name of God, El Har, upon the mountain. That little El there, that's a preposition. Ayin and Lamet. Sinai. The bramble bush place, the mountain of bramble bushes. Unto the peak of the head, the Rosh, the top, Hahar of the mountain. And he proclaimed and called, third person, master, senior, cal, wow, consecutive, and perfect, Jehovah, unto Moses, unto the head of the mountain. And he went up, Moses. All right. So God, Jehovah, God, calls Moses up to the very peak of the mountain. So Moses went up there. Yep, he's old. But God has kept him in good shape. 80-something years old, and he's in good shape. Had no problems climbing that mountain. Matter of fact, when he was 120 years old, he had no problems in climbing mountains or anything else. His eyes were just as sharp as when he was 20. His legs and his limbs and his arms were just as strong as ever. And God gave him the kiss of death and took him into paradise. Wayomer. Hathavar. El Shomei. El Moshe. Red. Ha'ed. Ba'am. Pen. Yihersu. El Hathavar. Leroth. We Nafal. Mem Menu Rav. Exodus 3 and 5 and 1 Samuel 6:19 are cross-referenced to this one. And he said Jehovah unto Moses. Remember, every time you see the word Hathavar there, it's Jehovah, however you say that word, but it's Hathavar, it's the word. Just say Ho Logos every time you see that. You can write Ho Logos in Greek right above that.
Okay, now we know the presence of God was there and God's voice was there. Was God in a human body or
God was in the body that Jesus would. He was. God was walking in the pre-incarnate form of Jesus. So what Moses saw was Jesus.
So he saw Jesus, but not in a physical
body. In all of his glory.
Was it in like a transfiguration body or something?
This is a pre-incarnate form. Pre-incarnate.
So
means before, in, and carne.
So before the flesh.
Before he became flesh. But
so we don't know what it looked like.
Yes. He looked just like Jesus. God had no trouble in the Old Testament walking around in the person of Jesus before he ever became. What they saw in the land of Galilee was a person that walked with Adam in the garden, was a person that met Moses on top of the mountain, that wrestled with Jacob, etc. This is the same person before he became flesh. The pre-incarnate Christ, in the form of his carnate being, walked them, but not in literal flesh, but like that.
So it would be like a glorified body.
That's a glorified. The way that Jesus was resurrected was what he walked with Moses with.
So
that's like it.
The glorified.
The glorified person of Christ before he became flesh.
But the glorified body had the marks of the crucifixion.
Afterwards.
So it was.
That didn't, when Moses didn't see the nail marks in Jesus.
Because that hadn't happened.
It hadn't happened yet. That had to happen in space and time. The promise was there. The promise was always there. The word Jehovah means what?
Mm-hmm.
He shall become. The one who shall become finally became. All over through here, we have the promise. From eternity all the way down to the law of Moses right here. This is where it all happened. All the way through here. And then an explosion from the universe comes forth with all the energy of the person of God and overshadows Mary and impregnates her with the pre-incarnate Christ. But now he becomes carnate. He becomes flesh. And she loans a body to him from the human race, but not the sin nature. All right? This is beautiful. The woman cannot pass the sin nature onto a child. Now, when Satan overshadows a woman, when he impregnates a woman, he's going to give all the evil of the universe in that person with all the deception. That woman's going to bring forth an evil, evil, evil Nephilim in the person of the Antichrist that will rule men with fierceness and hatred and anger, and will deceive Israel and build Israel a temple and allow Israel to start her sacrifices again that typified the Christ to come. Every time Israel will offer a sacrifice during that first 3.5 years, it is blasphemy to God. Every time a Jew would offer a sacrifice in the world after the coming of Christ, it's blasphemy to God. Those animals' lives were wasted. All the ones that came to Christ portrayed his coming. Everyone after Christ is blasphemy. There is no more Sabbath. There is no more feast of anything. For 1,000 years, Israel will celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. And that's unusual. The Feast of Tabernacles, that was the feast of the God dwelling with them on earth. And they will build the shelters, the booths, the lean-tos, the arbors out of the produce of the lands. And they will celebrate this Feast of Tabernacle for 1,000 years during the millennial reign of Christ. But no sacrifices. Because the sacrifice typified the sacrifice. There will never be another sacrifice.
Because
it's been done. The sacrifice is done. All right. Exodus 19:21. Wayomer. Hadavar. El Moshe. Red Ha'ed. Ba'am Pen. Yehershu. El Hadavar. Leroth. We Nafal, Memenu, rock. We read this a while ago, but let's go look at it again. And you said, Jehovah, unto Moses, you go down and you warn. Warning. Warning the people. Right in the middle of the people. Lest they keep on breaking through unto Jehovah. Keep on breaking through the barriers. To see, you know, people, when somebody has a wreck, people have wrecks looking at the wreck. People are always curious. They're curious as cats. Curiosity killed the cat, you know, the old story. They used to take and trap monkeys, and they would take a jar with just the mouth just long enough, just large enough for the monkey to stick his hand down there to get some goody in there, and the monkey would grab that goody in his hand, and he couldn't take his fist out, and they'd run up there and grab it because they had the jar tied down. Curiosity killed the cat. The people, lest they keep on breaking through to see, and he will have fallen. Look at that word, Nephel there. See that word, Nephel? There's where we get the word fallen ones, Nephilim. We Nephel. They will have fallen from him much or many. Many of these people will fall. They will die. Anybody that breaks through are going to die. 1922. We gone. Ha-ko-hanim. Ha-negashim. El-hadavar. Yit-kadashu. Pen. Yif-frats. Bahim, Hadavar, or Ho-Logos. Every time you see that Hadavar there, that's Ho-Logos of the New Testament. And also, the Kohen, look at that word, Kohenim, the priest. The priest, the ones approaching, the ones drawing near, masculine plural, Nephel participle, the ones drawing near unto Jehovah, Ho-Logos. They shall keep on consecrating themselves, lest he shall have fallen among them, Jehovah. When you come before the presence of God, you better be holy. Hell was created for the unholy. We don't like to think about hell so much because it's a place of, it's file 13 of the human race and file 13 of the angelic host and file 13 of the spiritual demons. But they cannot be in the presence of God's universe. Hell is created away from God. Away from God. Way out there away from God. Away, way, way off.
But yeah. That's where I get my question, because how then does Satan, like in Job, come into heaven, into the presence, you know, when...
But that is now. The rascal still is accusing us.
Oh, I know. But why? I mean, how can he get there?
Well, it's God's permissive will. Right now, God is playing by the rules. And let's put it this way. Man got God in a lot of trouble and himself in a lot of trouble for a long time. Because God is going to play by the rules correctly. God created Satan. No, that's a misnomer. God created Lucifer or Hillel. He created a perfect being that became evil. He became evil because of personal volition. Because he was jealous of God. He wanted to be a God. He wanted to be worshipped. And he saw all the powerfulness of God. And he said, I want to be like that. I want to have me that glory. And he wanted it. And so he conjured up a plan. And the book of Enoch tells you that there was at least 120 angels over the heads of myriads of angels. And the Bible, the book of Revelation tells us that he took one third of all the spiritual and angelic forces. I don't believe they came out. And I'm going to show you this again. These are Malach, angels. And the angelic forces, I believe, were triune. Trilateral. Alright? They were three. God created everything in a trinity of being, or a triuneness. Here we have Michael, we have Gabriel, and we have Lucifer, or Hillel. Now, in this spiritual realm, there are physical beings which we call angels. Angels. All of these three orders have angels and spirits of them. Angels are not spirits. Fallen angels are fallen angels. Fallen spirits are called demons. So where we have this, and we have these three orders. Now, I believe, this is what I think, and not only, I'm not alone with many theologians, that some people think that all of Lucifer's realm went with Lucifer, but that's not true. Because if you have a guardian angel, Lucifer's realm was over the material. Okay? Michael's realm was over the spiritual. And Gabriel's realm is over the intellectual. In other words, the communication realm. Now, if somebody today, if they have communication from demonic spirits, it's from Gabriel's realm of his fallen spirits. Gabriel's realm was also the spirit of the angels that carry messages for Satan and that pester people are from Gabriel's realm. Okay? These are the fallen ones. And Michael's realm are very powerful. These are the spiritual, what we might call military realm. These are powerful angels, very powerful. These angels and spirits that came from his realm, from what we understand in the Bible, had to be incarcerated in what we call the bottomless pit, the Abyssal.
Those are the ones still chained.
Those are the ones that are still chained right here, because these are very powerful. Now, Lucifer's realm, the ones that followed Lucifer in his realm, are over the material realm. These are over everything that is material. You are material. You are what we call normal. Paranormal means beyond normal. We live in a physical universe, physical realm. The spiritual realm around us is just as real as our physical realm. But Lucifer's fallen angels and fallen spirits deal in this realm, in the material realm. Now, many people believe that two-thirds of these angels are what we call guardian angels and spirits that lead people to truth, not away from it. We have the Holy Spirit, which indwells us when we're saved, okay? And that leads us into all truth. But we have ministering spirits that are from this material realm also. All of our guardian angels and everything came from this realm. Okay? Actually, this part of the realm.
Yeah,
these are the bad ones. That's the bad ones, okay? This is the good ones, the ones that are still obeying. God did not create angels to procreate. God did not create angels to procreate. He created angels to be ministers. And now they are all male. All angels are male. Okay? Angels were not created to procreate. The obedient angels have never procreated. But the disobedient angels, Genesis 6 and 1, forward, leading, FF, going on from there, those angels procreated with females and brought forth a race of giants, Nephilim, and they introduced evil practices among mankind. They introduced musical instruments, which are good and bad. Most of the music you hear in the world is not good. It's bad. They introduced, according to the book of Enoch, all types and forms of makeup. And the ones that really embellished this were the Egyptians. Okay, the makeup. They painted their eyes. They did all the different kind of things that they did back in those things. And actually, if you look at the rock stars, these demonic people, their faces all painted up in a demonic fashion. That's not by chance. The inspiration that they have is not from the good side. It's from the bad side. When Charles Taze Russell got inspiration to do what he did, he got it from the dark side. When Mary Ellen Baker got her information, she got it. Mary Eddie Baker. When she got her, she got it from the dark side. Joseph Smith got his from the dark side. Mohammed got his from the dark side. Buddha got his from the dark side. All of these major religions that we have out in the world today, if there was inspiration, which there was, it came from the dark side. If there was anything supernatural about their religious foundation, it was from the dark side of the wrong realm, from Gabriel's realm. The information always comes from Gabriel. Gabriel is the one that ministered to Mary and to Elizabeth and Joseph, all of these people. Gabriel approached them from the informational realm.
So
if we have any inspiration in whatever we do, it comes from this realm.
Okay, so like Joseph, Jacob's son, his dreams, they would have been from Gabriel.
Yes, that's from his realm.
I believe that.
Where did we just finish? I think it was 1922, wasn't it?
Not yet.
1922. So we started from 1913. 13 to 22. All of the inspiration. When God put Moses into a trance or whatever, he actually hypnotized him. It's hypnose in Greek. We got a word hypnosis from that word. When God hypnotized Adam in the garden and put him into a deep trance, he was hypnotized, hypnose. When God spoke to Pharaoh in a dream, he hypnotized him. It was a hypnotic trance, God speaking to him. And I believe probably God himself spoke to these people. When Jacob was put into a trance, he was in a hypnotic trance. Jehovah spoke to him. We know that because he wrestled with Jehovah. All right? All through the Old Testament, when people dreamed dreams, they were put into a hypnotic trance. And they dreamed these dreams in hypnose. And if a person is inspired to do something evil, the inspiration comes from this realm. If there is a seance today, and that seance is valid, I mean really valid from the spiritual world, demon spirits are involved. Demon spirits are involved. In drugs and in alcohol, people become supernaturally strong, demon spirits are involved. Every time. Demon spirits are involved in drug behavior. They're involved in all paranormal behavior. People always say, I mean, even the police departments use people that have these psychic powers. The psychic powers are not from God, but they try to make themselves legitimate. This in the New Age and the reincarnation realm of society today, they have this idea that all of the universe was created by aliens that came here and introduced their DNA into a race of subhuman beings and to build it up with this race of supernatural beings, real intelligent beings. And they brought forth and they keep charging the DNA with their... They take off and everybody that's supposedly been captured by a flying saucer or aliens... It has been sexually inspected. Every one of them. And there's a whole lot of these. events that are out there, whether they're true or not, I'll just tell you this. If there's a flying saucer out there, it's demonic. Or it's coming from a different realm. And what would be more blasphemous to God is to say that the man that God created was created by fallen angels and had DNA introduced to the human race by these supernatural aliens, these little green men or whatever you want to call them. There has been DNA introduced into the human race by the angelic forces, Genesis 6 and 1. Goliath was one of them, and his four brothers. They were all Nephilim, fallen ones, procreated by angels through some woman, some womb of some woman back there. We know this. The book of Enoch tells you this. The book of Genesis tells you this. You look up giants in the Bible and you're going to find a whole lot of them, and every one of them are referred to as Nephilim, the fallen ones.
And do you think that's still happening today?
I think it's very possible it's happening today. Every time an angel brings forth a heir, a child, it has a spirit in it that is forever. And that's the only way that Satan could build up his spiritual forces. And like I said, God is fighting on equal ground, fair with Satan. But in the end, when all of this takes place over here, when the great white throne judgment, when hellfire is built, and all of these piles of people that have rejected God and angels and demon spirits are thrown into that lake of fire forever, and it's way out there at the extremity outside of God's universe. It puts it out there in another universe in File 13, a universe called hell. God is going to be the victor. And we'll sit back and we'll talk about his exploits and his fair deeds forever. And we will glorify him in all of that. He will get glory from everything that has happened. Forever. Forever. All of the angels that surround us, we'll get to walk through dimensions and go through space and dimensions at free will. We will be cosmos travelers. Cosmos travelers. And you have to realize this, that if you serve me today, that you will reign and rule with me forever. We know there's a 1,000-year reign. And the church is going to be with Christ by his side. That's the ones in the church age. Not that age back there. Not all of that. But the church is made up special of these special people from this period of time that we live in today. Don't we live in a special time?
It's a challenging time.
It's a challenging time and a special time.
Time.
But yeah. Forever. Forever is forever. Olam. Ace tone on t. Ace Tony On, or Balashit, in eternities, in beginnings, way back yonder. Forever you rule and reign with Christ. Forever. And it says, I will put this man over five cities. Think about that for just a minute. Where are these cities? On different planets, colonies, out there in the universe. The world, the cosmos is going to be inhabited. God inhabits eternity now, the Bible says. This is pretty neat stuff. Lots of speculation in it, but there's a lot of questions.
Yeah, I don't want to necessarily rule and reign with you. I just want to be.
Yes.
I mean, the whole ruling, that's the whole
Everybody
thing.
Everybody wants a hammock in the corner of glory land. That's the old songs and stuff. I used to work out in the cotton fields with my grandmother in the potato fields. My grandmother could sing like an angel. And she would get out there and start singing in the cabin in the corner of glory land. She'd start to swing low, sweet chariot. She'd sing Amazing Grace. She'd sing all of these Christian songs. Those people were setting out. Today, it is nothing like it was back in the 30s and 40s and 50s. Nothing like it was. We live in a different world here than what it was back then. We went out there in those cotton fields. The cotton was this tall, You were down underneath the cotton in all of the humidity and the heat of 110 and 120 degrees with no restrooms, with no water, with no towels, with nothing. Whatever you had, you carried with you and you provided for yourself. No shades. And you picked that cotton in those cotton fields. And they were so miserable out there, they started singing themselves into heaven. They talk about the promised land and the hereafter. Because it had to be a whole lot better than that. And I would go out there and I'd listen to my grandmother sing. And she would start off. And there was a lot of colored people out there then. And boy, could they sing. I used to watch Laurel and Hardy movies. And sometimes in those Laurel and Hardy movies there, especially at last, they had a lot of musicals in them. And they had this one time where they had been incarcerated in a prison and they escaped. And they got out here on this plantation. And they painted themselves black, like Negroes. And they were working on this plantation, and they'd get out there in those cotton fields. And, of course, now I'm going to tell you something. In that movie, they weren't picking cotton. That was a bunch of baloney. The plants were green, and they had a lot of cotton bolls on them, a lot of cotton. They were very tall. And you went out there, and if that master, if that contractor saw one piece of white down that row, he said, "Ghost, I don't want to see any white cotton in that roll. I want to see every bit of that cotton in your sack." They didn't leave anything. You go out there today and there's cotton all over the place where these cotton pickers don't pick up. They pick up probably 75 or 80% of the cotton. Then they lose it on the side of the road. Boy, that wasn't allowed. We picked every bowl of cotton and had it in the sacks. And took it up there, and when I was a little old boy, when I was 5 and 6 years old, I'd climb up those had cotton trailers with chicken wire all around them. And I'd have to climb up on this tall ladder about 10 or 15 feet high, a little old kid. And I'd dump my little old sack, was two toe sacks sewed together. It was about that long all together, and I'm dragging it, I'm this tall, and I'm dragging this big old cotton sack like that, and filling that thing up, and that old boy out there, Mr. Van Wert, he'd say, "Get in there, boy. Stomp that cotton down now. Get in there, boy. Stomp it down." I couldn't just throw my cotton in there. I had to jump down. I was so little, I don't know how I was doing packing that cotton down, but everybody had to get in there and stomp the cotton down. And they had a ladder inside where you could climb out because it was pretty deep. You had to stop it and compress it down or else it would be too loose. Singing themselves into glory. And I never sang with them. I was too quiet to sing with them. But boy, was it beautiful music out there. Those people wanted to leave this world. Now we have homesteaders that love the world. They ought to have had a little of some of that. They would be wanting to go to glory. And the church houses were full. Because people weren't real satisfied with what's down here. They wanted to go on to glory. Well, we're going to get to go to glory one of these days. Let's have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you today for your word. Let it sink deeply into our hearts. Help us to glorify you with our lives. Help us to glorify you with what we have learned. Help us to take it to others. Help this lesson go out all over the world. And we know it's capable of doing that. I used to pray, Father, you know that. I used to watch Gene Scott on the radio and a lot of the baloney that he said and everything else. And I used to say to you all the time, "Lord, oh, I wish somehow that the truth could be preached throughout the world like he's preaching it there. Oh, how somehow that the truth could be preached out." Now, with your permission, I put out a website that people can go to. And they can hear many of my teachers and all the Bible truths that I've tried to unfold before your children. And they can hear all the truth from every theological subject under the sun. Please bless us as it goes out. Help us to glorify you with our lives. And help us to honor you with everything we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yeah.